Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all our listeners.
Yes, mate. And I believe you've got a bit on this week.
Yeah, I have. I've been really busy, Peter. I'm building an ark, actually. And, you know, I had to take time out for so we can chat here on the radio station.
It's all right, mate. I'll bring my flippers.
We had another torrential pouring last night. And again, this is the third time in the last month that the creek has been a raging torrent. We can't even get across the Melbourne Creek to get to the other side of the vineyard three times. It hasn't flowed in 3 years, Peter, and it's been in flood for, you know, three times in the last month. So
that means all your dams and everything are now full?
Well, no, because we can't let this flow into the dam. It might have put some in last night. I haven't been out to check. But what happens is, if you just let that go into the dam, fairly soon your dam's solid mud.
And, oh, yuck.
Yeah, so we only take an overflow, which it's got to be about 300 mil deep, the causeway, before we let a bit of an overflow go into the dam.
Understood.
Yeah, trying to keep the mud, you know, from going into the dam, because if it gets into the dam, there's two problems. One is that the capacity goes down, but also if we don't get the, and we have huge sand filters, as you know, because if we don't get that mud out of the drip lines, of course they plug the drip lines up.
Oh boy, and that's quite a problem.
It is, because we've got over 100 kilometers of drip lines, Peter, and to go along, you know, and unplug them is a big task.
I would imagine that, you know, I mean, you can't use a vacuum cleaner in reverse to blow them clear. I mean, that's not on the plate, is it?
No, because the pressure itself in the, they do have a, on the end, each end, they have a tap that we can turn on to blow them out. But if once the nozzle, once the little drip itself is plugged, it's difficult. We have massive pressure in that line, so we can put a lot of pressure through. But because the hole's so small, the amount of pressure doesn't mean that much. You know, it
oh,
doesn't.
Boy.
Yeah. But anyway, Peter, it's definitely been different. As I've joked, I think last week, we're expecting, we've had drought, and then we've had bushfires, now we've had flood, and we're expecting pestilence next, so.
Oh my God, I was going to say a visit from Mr. Morrison next.
Yeah, I don't know if when the locusts take over here, and we actually have had more grasshoppers the last 2 years than we've had since we've been here, you know, in the last 12 years, so. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we did end up with a bit of a plague here. There was an article about it in the paper just recently that we may be in for it, because Africa's getting it at the moment, as you well know. They can't do anything about it. Billions and billions stripping the land bare, Peter, in West Africa.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Well, we had a bit of a problem last year ourselves. I mean, if they didn't eat the vines, I wouldn't mind them to come through and strip the ground underneath, but there was a lot of them, but not plague proportions. But
I had a funny thing happen to us at the Maitland show. You know, I'm hearing all these squeaks and strange noises and thinking, my God, what's going wrong with the equipment? Turns out that there was a whole colony of crickets that had found their way into one of my bags, and they're having a great time.
Yeah, we get them. I don't know how they get in the house, Peter.
Oh, they've got away.
Yeah, we find them in the house here. They're big. And,
yes.
You know, because Jiminy can't harm Jiminy Cricket, so we have to catch him and put him outside.
Well, mate, I had a whole bag full when I come home here, and I opened the bag to get some of the equipment out. And I was like, my God, we got a colony in here.
Yes. Well, Peter, so we're just going to sit around and wait for our next plague. and I'm not talking about coronavirus either.
No, we understand.
Yeah. Lots of exciting things today, Peter. And you may know something very, very important, and your listeners will be very interested in this. This comes out of the UK, but the research was probably published in Finnish, because the University of Helsinki was the original source. They have discovered a molecule that stops the development of Parkinson's disease.
Oh, good news.
Yes, and I'll just read to you what it says. Researchers from the University of Helsinki found that the molecule, which is called BT13, has the potential to both boost levels of dopamine, the chemical that is lost in Parkinson's disease, as well as protect the dopamine-producing brain cells from dying.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I think this is a major, major development. So we just, and I know it's a terrible disease, and it's very hard, very difficult on families. My old university professor, when I did my doctorate degree, he was one of the most brilliant men you could possibly imagine, scientist, gold medalist, and Caltech PhD, and he got Parkinson's disease later in his life, and you know, he couldn't do anything. I had to help him across the street, and eventually, of course, it's fatal. But it's for people that have it directly in the family, it's such a terrible thing to see, you know, active and intelligent, highly creative people deteriorate like that. So this is great news, Peter.
It certainly is, because that means these people can have virtually a normal life now. Thank you.
That's right. It doesn't say here that it reverses it. It just says, and I don't know that your body keeps on producing dopamine-producing brain cells. That's a different thing at all. But it's this process is going to at least protect the ones that you have. And it'll boost the levels of dopamine. So it's going to have some reversible effects.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's good news.
It is good news, and mm-hmm. And there's some more good news was published, and this is going to affect a lot of people, including my dear wife, Barbara. New class of antibiotics, Peter.
Well, we need those because the others are starting to fail.
They are, and this attacks disease differently. The existing antibiotics work by breaking down the outer cells, the outer skin of cells. This one does it by making the cell walls thicker so they can't divide. Ah. So it's completely different. And it's called, I'll just read this again so I don't get it right, newly found cobamycin, lesser known complistatin, have never before seen way to kill bacteria. This is achieved by blocking the function of the bacterial cell wall. Discovery comes from a family of antibiotics called glycopeptides that are produced by soil bacteria. Mm. So it stops the cells from dividing, Peter, and that's the way it works. So and it's not, you know, there's no drug resistance to it. And so for people that are suffering, they're talking about types of staph infections here.
Yes.
But people also have those chronic UTIs, which are not necessarily staph infections, that are drug resistant, things like E. coli and that, and they just can't do anything with them. This is a very important development, Peter. So it's an new antibiotic, and this came out of McMaster University, and unless I'm not mistaken, doesn't say right there, McMaster University is in Canada, actually, so unless there's another one, I don't see, it's Canada, came out of Canada, Peter.
Well, so, there's some good things coming out of Canada.
Yes, well, we made that little trip ourselves.
Yeah, funny about that one.
Yeah, so, yeah, really, really exciting, Peter, because, as you know, my dear wife is allergic to penicillins, and as a result, her body fights them, and, of course, they don't work. So you and I get a little infection and 5 days of penicillin and it's gone. In Barb's case, she lives with it forever because she's like 1800s medicine, you know, back in the old days.
Oh, boy.
So, very important developments, Peter. There was a couple of others, which I'll just quickly gloss over. Another one on air pollution, showing the link between air pollution's tiny particles and heart attacks. So, they're talking about non-fatal heart attacks. They're talking about triggering this, people that live in these areas, triggering smaller heart attacks, not massive coronary, you know, breakdowns, but smaller heart attacks. So we did this the other day, showing people showed the effect of just 2 hours of pollution on monkeys' cardiovascular systems, and they could measure the deterioration with only 2 hours exposure. And for us, and we've just lived in, you know, 8, 10, 12 weeks of fine particulate called smoke, Peter. It's very, very bad for your cardiovascular system.
Yeah, so. Well, I was having difficulty with breathing. You know, like you go to walk up to the bus or something, and you get halfway and you think, oh, boy. You feel like you're lifting so much weight, and in effect, you're not.
Yes, and I think it has a serious effect on the oxygen that gets into your blood, Peter, and I think... you know, that probably has a lot to do with why, you know, it's so bad for your health. So anyway, some very important things there, Peter. I have a little thing with my doctor who is too busy to read any of this. And of course, as you know, I read about probably 50 abstracts from top universities in the world every week, trying to find something that you and I and our listeners, you know, are the first people to hear, at least here in our local area, Peter, unless they're reading the same research abstracts.
Sure.
These topics that I talk about are from last week. They're from, you know, February 12th to February 19th, so every week. So the ones that I've just talked to you about are only a day or two old from publication. So we like to keep our listeners right up to date on developments, Peter, and I keep my doctor up to date too because she doesn't have time to read these things.
That's good. That's creating that sort of home environment in a way. You know, you're all getting together and you're all sharing information. Fantastic.
Yeah, and she appreciates it, I can tell you, because saves her, you know, an hour or two a week, and she doesn't have much time because, you know, she's always on call at the hospital and so many patients, and that sort of works out well, Peter. So anyway, let's talk about something nice. Not that solving or curing diseases isn't nice. We have the Alliance Francaise Candlelight Market, Peter, in Newcastle on Saturday night at the station.
Oh, right, the old Newcastle station.
Yes, well, I assume it just listed as the station now, so I guess that's where it is.
Yep.
Locals should probably double check. We will be there, Peter, with our wines, and we invite all our, not just our friends of a cellar down, but everybody down to have a taste of some very fine organic wine, and happy to have a chat. Maybe a chance to meet some of our listeners, Peter. We've been chatting about all these things for the last several years. And we don't often meet our listeners, so invite all our listeners down to taste a wine and have a little chat at 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, Peter.
All right, that sounds good. We might come along too, if that's all right.
Yes, come down and, you know, we can maybe do a little segment and get it on the radio.
Yes, mate, we can do a broadcast out there. And all I'll need is a table and a chair, so if you can, because I can't carry those on the bus.
Yeah.
But if you can help with that, well, that'd be terrific.
I'll take an extra table and chair, and we'll find somewhere. If the worst comes to the worst, we can put you in our booth, Peter, and because we always have those three tables that we put around the booth, so... Yeah, well, I don't know if it's indoor. I assume it's indoor because nowhere outdoor there much at the station. So it's not going to be weather impacted, I don't think, Peter.
No, I don't think there'll be any worries, mate. And that sounds like fun. What was the name of the festival again?
It's called the Candlelight Market. And it's the Française Alliance, which is the French club, sort of. It's a worldwide organization. We have them all over Canada, of course. Canada is bilingual with French. But yeah, it's a worldwide sort of French association where the French people are able to get together and, you know, and compare notes and support each other in countries that are not necessarily French or French speaking. So it's it's a great group. They put on a lot of events, so we know a little bit about it because we have a lot of very fine French Canadian friends. And in fact, on Saturday night we're going to stay with Dr. Roy. Dr. Michel Roy in French, but Roy here, Dr. Michel Roy, and her husband, who's also a doctor. We're going to stay with them on Saturday night, Peter, and they are French Canadian, so I'm quite sure they'll be down.
Yeah, that's true, and it means that apart from being there, you can get very pleasantly.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so, we welcome everybody. So we should have a very nice time down there, Peter.
Well, I think it'd be terrific.
Now, but not to mention that we will be here on Saturday. We'll be back on Sunday. So those that are planning a trip out here to the vineyard, still please come. We'll be leaving probably about 3 o'clock, but we'll definitely have somebody here, Peter. So we've had quite a few visitors coming out here. Coming out into the Hunter Valley these days, Peter, is like visiting a jungle.
Well, I noticed that around here too, you know, like all of a sudden that green that we were missing. And, yeah. I had a joke about that because our people had come and mow the lawns and said, oh, back to mow the dirt. And fortunately, it's all lovely and green now.
Yeah, I think we probably lost several people in the vineyard.
Peekaboo!
still trying to find their way out. The grass up there is hip deep. The problem is we have not been able to get in to mow it for a month.
Oh, boy.
We were going to go yesterday, and then we had a little technical problem with the slasher. So we said, okay, let's put it off and start today. And then last night, we had this torrential rain downpour. So
mm-hmm.
Can't get in today either, Peter.
Yes, well, that woke me up, actually. I woke up and I thought, good grief. You know, and the noise was unbelievable. But yes. Nice to see the rain. We need that rain.
It was. And that actually, for a change, there wasn't that much fork lightning, at least when it came over us. It was mostly sheet lightning.
Yes, we had a bit of the old fork here.
Yeah.
And I've got to be careful how you say that, because people might think I'm saying something else. but that's the way it goes.
Yes, well, it was, and we got poor old Buddy tied up down at his kennel, because he's been a naughty boy. And he was whimpering a bit.
Yeah, I imagine he'd be as scared, absolutely. You know what I mean.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, there's been a fair bit of it. So I think the first one or two may have scared him quite a bit. It reminds me of when in our previous, not Ned, the previous one, but the one before that, Skip, we had a tremendous storm. The house here, the homestead, got hit by lightning, knocked our chimney off, and took out our air conditioning and lots of our electronics. And there was a lightning and then a mighty clap of thunder. And I thought, gee, you know, that was close, like only a few hundred meters away. And I went out to look out the door at the dog. And just as I looked at him, the lightning hit the house with the thunder at the same time. Well, the dog jumped about 2 meters in the air. He took off. He took off at 100 miles an hour, Peter, and he jumped across the grid. We didn't see him for 24 hours.
That would not surprise me. Mate, can't you put one of those little lightning rods on the place so if it's going to hit it, it hits the rod like they do with transmitters?
Well, we do. We have this massive lightning rod, but when it takes a direct heat hit, Peter, it did save our lives, probably, but it didn't save the chimney.
Oh, dear.
Or the air conditioning, or the lot of the electronic, lost most of our computers and stuff. But
you see, my dad always says, if you're going to do a job, you do it well.
Yeah, I think the dog, thereafter thought that I had the power of death in my hand. it happened just as I looked at him, you know. So anyway, kid gave me a wide berth for a while, Peter.
I wonder why. Dear, yes. Oh dear. Mate, one thing we've got to do is get our good friends to get some lovely organic wine. And if they order now, well, it'll be there in a few days.
It will, Peter, overnight to most areas in the Sydney Basin or second day. But Australia-wide, free delivery, Peter, complimentary delivery. We ship down to a 9-pack and you can mix and match. And no reason not to have a very nice organic wine, Peter, in your cellar.
So if a business would like to take on that wine, they can get a shipment from you delivered?
They can. Yes, right. They can. And we do wholesale for restaurants, of course, and bottle shops. We have some very fine bottle shops, Fennel Bay, Peter, and Rowley's downtown carry our wine. So you can always pop into the bottle shop locally in Newcastle, pick mm-hmm. up a bottle of very fine Acela organic wine.
Oh, that's nice. Well, they carry it. Well, they can carry it for me to the bus. No, who said that? Oh, mate, that's lovely. And, the variety is so, I was going to say intense, that's the wrong word, but so big. There's a bottle of organic wine for any occasion.
Yeah, there is. And people have a nice time, Peter. The silk tree is still magnificent.
Oh, terrific. I'm glad it didn't get damaged.
No. And the vines and the fruit trees in the orchard, which were losing their leaves because it was so hot and dry, and we're trying to put water in there, but we didn't have a lot of water. They've started to increase their foliage again, Peter. They're going to, with all this water, they're going to, I don't think they're going to bloom again, but they're definitely increasing their new growth of leaves,
oh,
leaves and foliage. Yes, so it's important for fruit trees, and I'm sure your listeners know, and for, you know, things like grapevines and that, even after the fruit is picked, the vines are still gathering reserves for their roots for next year's crop.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's important to keep watering them and keep making sure that they're healthy and happy and that they don't lose their leaves prematurely.
Fantastic. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. And we'll catch up next week.
You sure will. Jeff from Acela Wine. Now, that's acelawine.com.au.